What's going on, folks? KMBR tonight. Kerry Crowley here with you, hanging all the way to the 10 o'clock hour. Post-game of the Giants 4-0 win, Kevin Gausman was outstanding. Buster Posey delivered the big hit. And the Giants are 27-16. And here to talk all about it, my friend Alan Stiles, host of the Long Ball Podcast. You've heard him on KMBR before. Alan, what's going on this evening?
Kerry, thank you for having me on. Things are going well. How are things with you?
Cannot complain over here. A lot to talk about tonight, especially with the way the Giants have started to clean up on the road. The red-hot Padres are on their heels. The Dodgers have won 6 of 7. They're playing right now. But the Giants look to be for real. I know it's early, Alan, but do you believe in what you've seen from this team so far?
I do. I definitely believe in what I've seen. I think the question is, at what clip, right? We know that they're going to be able to scrap out games, but we also know that the Dodgers and the Padres, they're not going to go away. And the Dodgers, for all intents and purposes, are nowhere near, 100% as far as how they're playing. And, they're finally going to get some of their guys back. So it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold. I think at the very worst, you keep on stacking up wins, and I'm not sure how many people thought that the Giants would be in playoff baseball this season. I know we got really close last year, but even if you don't win the division, getting into playoff baseball, and as we know from those even years that seem so long ago based on each year that goes by and each season that goes by, once you get in the tournament, it's anybody's game.
Absolutely. And you go back to those seasons where the Giants won. They were often the wild card team. In 2016, they were able to get into the NLDS as the wild card winner. And they always had Madison Bumgarner to get them through it. And the way Kevin Gausman looks right now, Alan, I would say that Gausman is the type of pitcher that you would want in a wild card game. I don't think a one-game playoff scenario would be the worst thing in the world for this Giants team, if down the line that were to be a scenario that the Giants would be involved in.
Yeah, I completely agree. You can give the ball to him and expect he's going to compete and he's going to make it hard for the other team to get into a rhythm. Today he was sitting, around 95, and there was talk about him having a dead arm. So anytime you got a dead arm and you're still able to throw 95, you probably got some good stuff in the tank. And it does remind me of, we hate to go back to the torture and compare to the teams of the past, but it reminds me of the Giants of old. And when you have Mad Bum on the mound like that, by the way, I mean, those Giants, they almost ended some teams' organizations. Like, I really do believe the Pirates just have never been able to come back from. It feels like every year the Pirates would make it to the one-game playoff, have to face Mad Bum, and then they were done. He made McCutchen leave, and now the whole organization is just in shambles. Lucky for them, they have a beautiful stadium made by the same architect that made Giants. But besides that, I mean, if the Giants get rolling like that, and you got a guy like Kevin Gausman that can, really keep guys off balance with the scrappy hitting that hopefully will continue to heat up. I'm sure we'll talk about Buster Posey later. They really have a shot here.
Hey, speaking of guys who helped end the Pirates as we knew them, Brandon Crawford, the big grand slam back when the Giants took on the Pirates in that one-game wild card game. And he's off to a tremendous start this season. I just mentioned the numbers, 868 OPS, 540 slugging percentage. That's never been done by a shortstop his age or older. Do you think that this pace, obviously it's not sustainable. We're not going to see Brandon Crawford hit 40 home runs this season. But do you think that what we've seen from him the past two seasons, kind of an 800 OPS player, is who he is now as a baseball player?
Yeah, and I really do think he's found his niche in that, you're hitting later in the lineup and you really just focus on what your job is. And I don't know if you recall this. I can't remember which media outlet it was, but they put out something that basically talked about all the premier shortstops that were going into free agency at the end of the season. And Brandon Crawford wasn't on that list. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I saw the list and Brandon tweeted about it, I think he subtweeted whoever it was. And I even tweeted and I said, look, Brandon, I understand where you're coming from. You've been amazing in this game. The longevity has just been amazing. You're a champion personified in every sense of the word. But I don't know if you're there anymore. And he sat there and he's showing people like me and people like whoever wrote that article, well, I do have it. And you could even make the argument I'm continuing to get better. So I think he's really locked in right now. He's not trying to do too much. And he's in a place where he's just playing his game. He has, you know, all these new shortstop, they have the flash, and we love all that. But Brandon, you know, the hail, the swag, he has it without necessarily having to show it. And I think that's what we've always loved about Brandon Crawford. We know he's the DJ in the locker room. He knows all the great beats. He's always been that guy, and it continues to come together for him in every sense of the word. And he's still a complete stud on the defensive end. And I'm not sure if that'll ever end. You know, when you talk about some of these guys who might get moved to third base or second base at the end of their career, Brandon Crawford might retire a shortstop. And you know, they just came out with the Derek Jeter documentary. And look, we all love the captain, but there was a lot of conversations about whether he should be a shortstop at the end of his career. I don't see that happening or being an issue for Brandon Crawford, because it's just ridiculous. The glove is more than gold. Whatever is more than gold right now on the market, that's what Brandon Crawford's glove is.
Alan Stiles joining us, host of the Long Ball Podcast, excellent baseball analyst. And you brought up Buster Posey earlier, and, you know, in talking with Brandon Crawford, talking about guys who are well outperforming and exceeding expectations for players their age, Buster Posey, 34-year-old catcher, almost 2 months into this season, Alan, OPS is still above 1,000, had the big three-run double on Wednesday evening to key the 4-0 win. Do you feel like Gabe Kapler has managed his situation well in terms of Posey right now isn't going to qualify for the batting title because he's not playing enough, but it does seem like he's been kept fresh? Do you think that there will come a point in the season where they should just go for it and play Buster Posey every day? Or do you think in giving him these days off, the Giants are saving his best for when they need him?
Yeah, I think, look, well, first of all, I've been throwing it on my Twitter a couple times now, hashtag bounce back Buster, because that's what's going on right now. The bounce back Buster season is upon us, and we really do love to see it. It's almost like, you know, he's pretty close to platooning at this point, but it's definitely working. I do think as things continue to heat up, Gabe Kapler can do a good job of just massaging the situation. If the Giants start to cool off and the Dodgers and Padres continue to heat up, maybe you got to play Buster a little bit more. But again, it's a long season, and I think the best thing to do is just keep an eye on that wild card. The Giants were so close last season, I believe a game away. If they win that game they're in, you keep an eye on that wild card, and if things start to feel like they're slipping away, have that conversation with Buster and say, hey, how should we approach this? And we know that Buster is a bulldog, and he will say, look, I'll play however much I need to play in order to get this team back to the postseason. But I think for now, you keep doing what you're doing. As the season progresses, whether the Giants continue to scratch out these victories or if they cool off a bit, that's when you have that conversation with everybody in the organization and say, hey, what's our approach? But I do think that right now it's clearly working. Not only is it working in the regards of keeping Buster fresh, when you look at it from a scouting report perspective, you know, Buster's not playing every day, and I know he's a great hitter anyway, but when you see a guy with less at-bats than a different player, it does affect you. So I think Buster's done a lot. One last thing I'll say about Buster, if you notice, you probably definitely noticed, but his hand placement. A lot of people are wondering how he got that bat speed back. I think he definitely went into the lab and saw, okay, launch angle's happening now. And I know you love launch angle, Kerry. So, you know, Kerry loves launch angle, so let me get some more launch angle on the ball. But also, hey, I am a little bit older. Even though holding the bat on my shoulder is a little bit more comfortable, I need to get a little bit of a quicker start. And not only am I a little bit older, everybody out of the bullpen is throwing 95. I don't think that it was like that when Buster first got into the league.
No, absolutely not. He's talked about how different it is for him as a hitter in 2021 compared to when he won Rookie of the Year in 2010. Alan, shifting gears a little bit, one of the reasons I was really excited to have you on today was because we get to talk about the controversy that's rocked baseball, and that is Tony La Russa, Yermín Mercedes, and the Chicago White Sox, who have one of the best records in the American League, yet it feels like if things haven't completely blown up in Chicago, they just might in the near coming days if Tony La Russa doesn't get out of his own way. What did you think of the whole situation in terms of La Russa not only not defending his own player's swing on a 3-0, but then going in and criticizing his own player?
It's awful. It's awful for everybody involved. I don't really want to put this on Major League Baseball because they don't really have control there. But anybody associated with the White Sox, look, I am a diehard Giants fan, but I do love Tim Anderson. I do have a Tim Anderson jersey. He's my favorite player, you know, that's not on the Giants. So I really do root for the White Sox in that regard. My dad's from Chicago as well. So for this to be happening, when we all saw it coming, I think that's the craziest thing, that nobody is surprised and you can try to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. And he's just ruining it for really no good reason other than the fact that he truly just is out of touch. That's the bottom line. And you can't make someone understand something that they don't want to understand. And Tony La Russa clearly doesn't want to understand this situation. I just will never understand if a team found themselves in a position where they have to pitch a position player. These guys get paid based on producing. So you're asking them not to produce. Then down the line, some of these contracts have incentives, or even if somebody is in a slump or trying to get out of a slump, where do the rules start and end? I understand some of the, you know, not necessarily in the big leagues, but some of these wild bat flips we've seen, and I love it all, but some of them are just ridiculous. You could argue some are getting to become a safety hazard. I get all of that, but a situation where it's well within the game, I will not understand. The same thing happened with Jace Tingler last year with Fernando Tatis hitting that grand slam, but the thing is, he understood, okay, and what he originally said was not as spicy as Tony La Russa at all. He still walked it back because he understood. But again, these are generational type things, and when you have, you know, it's oil and water. It's oil and water. And the way the White Sox play, they're part of this, you know, new reinvigoration of baseball, the White Sox, the Padres, you know, all the teams like that. You cannot have a guy like Tony La Russa. That's not to say he's not a great baseball mind. You know, he can coach a different team, but this isn't the situation. And I think you're completely right. I don't see how they can continue. How do you have a conversation? I don't know how much managers talk to their team after games, but how do you have a conversation in the locker room after that? How do you, up till now, I'm wondering that every time, because baseball plays every day, I'm wondering that every time I see, you know, the White Sox played. How did this game start? You know, what is going on here? So it's just a bad look, man.
Hey, I am right there with you, Alan. And what a few days for the game of baseball. You have, you know, the discourse surrounding Manny Machado's slide in the infield that really was just a non-issue for Major League players. Then you have Mike Trout get hurt, and he's out for 2 months, one of the greatest players of his generation, if not the greatest. And then a few hours later, you've got Tony La Russa and Yermy Mercedes and the White Sox clubhouse going up in flames. So baseball, not really able to get out of its own way right now, but I bet that's not a surprise to you, my friend.
Not quite. It's par for the course, unfortunately, but we got to stay optimistic.
Yes.
We got to stay optimistic. And, you know, the longer this thing continues and more guys get in, and I hate to say it like this, but the more the Tony La Russas of the game start to ride into the sunset, you know, in retirement, it'll get there. It'll get there. It's just probably taking much longer than it should.
Well, we love this sport. We love your perspective on it. We love having you on, Alan. Thank you so much for joining us here on KMBR tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kerry. Take care.
All right. Coming up next, we got What Is Today, the old famous Mark Willard segment that I have been known to criticize in the past. Once or twice, I've said some pointed things about What Is Today, but I've also been known to praise Mark Willard for the way he handles this great show. So thanks so much to Alan for joining us. A lot more Giants talk coming up next. KMBR tonight, Kerry Crowley with you all the way till 10 o'clock. You're listening to The Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.